Kumlen and Avla Gemara, we are up to Daf Pei Vav Amet Aleph. We are up to the wide lines, three lines into the wide lines. Basically, our Mishnah said that that the cavities in the walls and the thickness of the wall have a din like the inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Then Rav made a comment that roofs and upstairs, the second story, are not holy. So in Beis HaMikdash, if you have to be eaten in the Kachim Kachim, it has to be eaten, you know, Kachim Kachim has to be eaten inside the Beis HaMikdash, has to be downstairs. If you're in Yerushalayim, the Korban Pesach, you have to eat it downstairs. And then we asked a couple of questions, and we explained that, for example, the Korban Pesach upstairs is only singing the Hallel, not actually eating. And in the Beis HaMikdash, on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that was special because the Eibishter, that was the Eibishter's directive. Toshma, come in here. We bring now another Braisa to prove. It says here, all those rooms that were built inside, and all those chambers that were built inside Kodesh, if they're built inside the Beis HaMikdash itself, but it's open to outside the Beis HaMikdash, the entrance is outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then Teichen Chol, we view, even though it's found under the Beis HaMikdash, since the entrance is outside the Beis HaMikdash on the Temple Mount, therefore we treat it as if it's ordinary, it's mundane, it's not holy. What about the Gagai saying, but the roofs are considered Kodesh? You just, Rav, said the roofs are not Kodesh. He says clearly the roofs are Kodesh. These are like caves. These are subterranean. And therefore the roof on top of this particular room is actually on level with the courtyard itself. And therefore it's not a roof. This is courtyard. And that's why upstairs is considered Kodesh. That's what we're talking about. That there is not a rock inside on the mountain itself. Let's read the next safe, the end. If they're built in the ordinary part, outside the Beis HaMikdash, but Psuch LeKodesh, the entrance is Dafke only through the Beis HaMikdash, then Teichen Kodesh, since the only entrance is the Beis HaMikdash, we treat it as if it's Kodesh. But it says here, V'gagai Sein Chol, but the roof is considered ordinary. So, V'i Salka Datach, B'shigagai Sein Shavon LeKarka, and if you can tell me that it's talking about that this is subterranean, therefore the roofs are really just a level ground. So Azor Havelam, if so, then since you're telling me that it's built under the Beis HaMikdash, facing outside, so you're telling me this is considered underneath the Azor Havelam Chila, is a cave. And we know that none of the caves are holy. How can you tell me because it's exposed? The entrance is under the Azor. The entrance is in the Beis HaMikdash, different to Beis HaMikdash, but if it's under the ground, it's a tunnel. And Rabbi Yechon laid down a rule that tunnels were never Kodesh. They deliberately left the tunnels open, that a Balkedi, for example, should be able to wander about there. Somebody who had an admission is not allowed to be in Machne Shechina, in the Holy Nalbi Machin Leviya, even the Temple Mount, but if it's a cave, they're allowed to be there because it's not holy. So how can you tell me here it says it's Kodesh? These are caves. It says the Gemara, Kikom Rabbi Yechon, when did he say his thing? That what the Psucha is Lahar Habayis. Rabbi Yechon said his thing, if it's open to Har Habayis. If it's open to Har Habayis, he's saying that what? That it's not considered holy. But ki tanya hi b'sucha l'azora. Our case here, the Braise is talking about where it's open to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the rest of the room, even though it's outside the Beis HaMikdash, is considered holy. And therefore, that's considered holy. Rabbi Yechon, when he said about caves, he was talking about it was not that it was open to the Beis HaMikdash. He was talking about caves that were open to the other side. People wanted to walk in from outside the Temple Mount, like about Kelly, they can walk in. So where were they facing? Where was the entrance? Away from the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why those caves were never sanctified. Says the Gemara further, Tanya, didn't we learn? Rabbi Huda said, Mechiles tachas ahechel chol. Rabbi Huda said that any caves under the Beis HaMikdash are considered mundane, and it sounds like it makes no difference where the entrance is, whether the entrance is outside Beis HaMikdash, or even the entrance is in Azorah. If it's a cave, it was never sanctified. Says the Gemara again, Ki Tanya hilapsu the chol. Rabbi Huda's case again was talking about a case where it was open to outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But if the entrance is in the Beis HaMikdash, even though it's a cave, it was sanctified. Okay, so we're still asking questions on the din that Rav said, that the upstairs and the roofs were never sanctified. Tashma, come in here. It says v'gagoy kodesh, that the roof of the Beis Hamikdash. The end of the Brayse, Rabbi Yehuda says later on the Brayse that the roof of the Beis Hamikdash is holy. So the chayde, if it says clearly here that the roof of the Beis Hamikdash is holy. Says the Gemara, and the pasuk before we're talking about the second story that it's holy is the second story, but not the roofs. So the Gemara, Tizbara, let me ask a question. Tani, it says there, Gagin Halolu, these roofs in the courtyard and all these rooms, ain't oichlin sham kotche kotchen. It says clearly, do not eat there any kotche kotchen, those that were meant to be eaten in the courtyard. Do not eat it on top of those roofs, nor vein shechtin sham kotchen kalim. You shouldn't shech there any of the, like a karma shlamim, that can be shechted anywhere in the courtyard. Now, Luchayda, if it says in the Braise that the roof is holy, why can't you eat in the kotche kotchen? Why can't you shed the kotche kalim? How are you going to explain? So therefore, obviously, it doesn't mean that. So the kasha, so gaga kodesh. So what does it mean when it says the roofs are holy? So it's not a question to Rav, because obviously you cannot eat kotche kotchen there. So what does the Braise mean when it says the roofs are holy? It's holy in a different regard altogether. In which regard is this? Omer Rav Chomaguri, lo'oysen beis amos. Those two measuring yardsticks. What are the world of these two measuring yardsticks, which we had? Now we learned. Beis Amos Hayu. There were two yardsticks. Shushan Habira. Shushan Habira was on the entrance of the Heichal on top of the wall. It was this design. And on one side of it, we had one yardstick. On the other side, we had another yardstick. And he explains. Achas HaKeren Mizrachi Tzvainis. The Beis Hamikdash, the entrance was on the east side, and you went from east to west. The north was the right, and the south was to the left. So one was on the northeast corner. So that was on the right side of the entrance. Up there was one yardstick, and the Achas HaKeren Mizrachi Tzvainis. There was another yardstick on the south. On the southeast corner, on the other side of that entrance. Zu Sha'al Keren Mizrachi Tzvainis Hoysi Yisrael Shal Moshe Chatzi Etz, but the yardstick that they used to measure whatever they were, all those Keren Mizrachi Tzvainis, everything else, was one half of a finger greater than Moshe Rabbeinu's yardstick. We'll soon explain why. Zu Sha'al Keren Mizrachi Tzvainis, and that which was on the southeast side, Hoysi Yisrael Chatzi Etz, was actually a half a finger longer. These are the measuring the yardsticks that they used to use to check, test all the building material that they used in the Beis Hamikdash. and they had this image of Shushan HaBira on the entrance. They all remember, you know, where they came from. It was only after Shushan the second Beis Hamikdash was built, so you should remember the story of Purim. Yeah. So when we say that the roofs are holy, it was only insofar as holy supporting these two yardsticks. But not in any other respect, it wasn't holy. So Rav is correct. Says the Gemara. So why in the world do you need two yardsticks? Says the Gemara. The Lama Hayu. Why would they existed? So he says here, Moshe Rabbeinu's yardstick was exactly six tefachim, an amma, six fists, and they added a half a finger for one yardstick and a full finger another yardstick. When they had to measure, they give a quote, and they quoted on an amma worth of whatever material they were giving, they used to use Moshe Rabbeinu's yardstick, which was very conservative, and they gave a correct quote. But when they had, let's say, they had some leftovers and they had to then give it back to the Gaboyim, they used to use these other yardsticks to measure, so they had more leftovers, and they would give it back, just to be careful, because if they were very skimpy and they missed out even by a minutia, they would be over for stealing the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, when they gave back to the Beis Hamikdash, because they had excess materials, they were much more generous. So they used a larger stick. Otherwise, they might be enjoying from Hegdish things, which they have no right to. They might miscalculate, it'll drop, and they would have been considered stealing. Says the Gemara, so why do you need two sticks? So Tati Lamali, okay, and I'm sorry. But they'll give back the larger stick initially. What do you mean? It should be considered stealing. Says the Gemara, the Tati Lamali, why do you need two yardsticks? Well, it depends. Achaz le kazmah, that was the material was silver and gold, which was expensive. They only used a half finger excess. But achaz le binyan, these were bricks and other things, they used the full finger. Tanan, we learned, hachalimis, in our mission, it says the windows were over and chama, and the thickness of the wall, kilifnim, are considered like inside the Beis Hamikdash or inside Yerushalayim. Bishleim achalonis, windows, mishkachas, windows, so here's a question on Ravi, says roofs. I said upstairs are not considered are not sanctified at all. Roofs are upstairs. So windows, I can say, the shavi l'karka zara. The windows are cavities and holes in the walls, and they might be down on the level on the ground. It's not a second story. Okay, so therefore it's concrete, like inside the base of Mikdash, inside Yerushalayim. We're talking about the thickness of the wall. The pasuk you're talking about on top of the wall. How can you find a case where it's not considered upstairs, and yet it says clearly that it's holy? And you now said that all the upstairs and roofs are not holy. Says the Gemara, Mishkachzla, you know how you find it? Kibar Shuda, you find it in the low, in the wall that was very low. See, because it says, Vayechel, it says the pasuk, Vayavel, Chel, Vachemim, and they broke through the chel and the chaim. It seems there were two walls. It seems that there were two walls around the base, around Yerushalayim. There was an inner wall and an outer wall, and the inner wall, I guess, was very, very low. So therefore, we can say that it's almost ground level, and that's the wall that when we say that the Oyveh HaChemer is considered part inside Yerushalayim or inside the Beis HaMikdash, because it's considered inside the Beis HaMikdash, because it's considered on level. It's not considered on top of a roof, because remember, the Beis HaMikdash is on a mountain, so it's climbing up. So that inner wall was practically on level with the Azorah as it was climbing up. Says the Gemara Mishnah. Okay, so we're going to have a machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, regarding the Korban Pesach. How you let us splinter the Korban Pesach? Is it that one Korban Pesach can be divided into two groups and eat in two separate places, but one group you're not allowed to move from one place to another place, or that you have to be one group, But the people are allowed to move from one place to another place. There has to be one group, and the group cannot move, but individuals can. Once they started with the group, they can move. So the Mishnah follows Rabbi Huda, which says the following. There were two groups. There were two groups eating in one house. But Rabbi Huda holds that a Korban Pesach l'chatchila, you can divide it in two groups, or three groups. You can divide it in different groups and be in different places. But whichever group you started with, you have to finish. You're not allowed to wander about from one group to the next. Each individual cannot move around. The groups can be divided. So if two groups happen to be eating in the same house, Elu hoifkin es paneim heilech, these people are allowed to turn their face in one direction, ve'oichlin and eat, ve'elu hoifkin es paneim ve'elech, these people could turn around and face the other side, and they don't have to look at each other as if they're all one group. They can appear as if they are two groups from the beginning. It's not a problem. Because we learned from a pasuk that the Korban Pesach can be chatchila be divided into two groups, no problem. Then he said further, the hamechim and the urn, let's say that you have the hot water. They used to use the hot water to dilute the wine, so they would have a butler, a waiter, and this waiter would go and take from that water to mix the dilute the wine from either party. So you can put that in the middle, and. Put this big hot water urn in the middle, even though it's like a wall, so it's a partition. You have totally two separate groups. Doesn't matter, because milchatchila you're allowed to have two groups for one Korban Pesach. Then he says, kishashamish oimed limzig. Now, let's say the shamish ate, started eating one group, but now he's wandering about to help feed the other group. He has to make sure he eats nothing from the second group, but much more than that. Because Shamashem Limzer, when he goes to dilute the water from the wine, let's say from the next group, Koifitz as peeve. He has to actually, let's say, close his mouth, Umachzir as ponov, and he's facing the original group that he's eating with, Achemagi Eitzachavoresa. So he's walking like backwards in a way. His mouth is closed, he's facing the group that he ate with as he's walking in the direction of the other group that he's about to, you know, to pour wine or whatever he's doing there to serve them. We call the oichel, and then he goes back to his original place and he eats. Then he goes back to his original place and eats. Then he said, "But Hakala, who is embarrassed to eat in public for the first time, everybody's watching her, and she's a tznua, she's a modest woman. Hayfeches es paneh v'ichelas. She's allowed to turn her face around to face the different group and eat with them, because even though she looks like she's no longer part of the original group, it's all right." As the Gemara will explain. Says the Gemara, Maslis Emanu Yehuda, who's author of Mishnah Beauty. Tanya, we have two psukim. One pasuk says you take from the blood and sprinkle it on your doorpost and on your lintel. And then it says, Al Habatim, on the houses, which is plural, Ashe Yoichlu, that they should eat Bohem. The houses sound like two houses, and Yoichlu sound like two groups. Eating them. That's one pasuk. That means that you can take one Korban Pesach and split it into two. even two different houses. Yochel 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 Shem Kaimis. I thought, well, if you're allowed to have take current pace in the vine too, maybe individual can start with one group and then later on move to the next group. Tamil Leimer, therefore the Pasuk says, Bebayis Echod Yeochel. Then another Pasuk says, in singular form, Bebayis Echod, in one house, Yeochel, you should eat, and you should not take it from the house outside. So therefore, it sounds clear from here that if you're an individual, you're not going to go from one place to another place. Mikan Amru. So here you learn out, you can't have a Seder, have half the Seder in one house and half the Seder in another house. You cannot do that. But we did learn that once you finish benching, you can go to the house. Once there's no more eating anymore, like we said, halal, you're allowed to go to the roof. Once you finish the eating part, you're allowed to go. Then he says here, Mikan Amru learn out, Hashamish, if let's say the waiter, over here means the waiter. If the waiter, let's say, he ate something, you know, without realizing, he's standing in the kitchen there and he ate something in the kitchen, that's what he normally does during the year. It depends. So now that's his place of the Korban Pesach. Remember, you cannot eat other places. If he's intelligent, continue eating, because you're not allowed to eat anywhere else. Because once you leave there, you cannot eat anywhere else. But if one of the groups that he's serving wants to do him a favor, then boy in the Yoshim Seder, they're going to come and join him for the Pesach Seder. So that becomes his place. These are words of Yehuda. So Yehuda holds the Chatzila, you can have two groups, but once you're one group, individuals cannot swap around. And Rav Shimon holds just exactly the opposite. Rav Shimon says, Al Haboti Mashi, the Pasuk says, Al Haboti Mashi Yechlu Oise Behem. It says in plural, the houses, sounds like an individual can move around. Melamed Shaha Oichel Oichel Beshtei Mekremis. An individual can move around. Yechlu, I would have thought, Yehei Nechlu Beshtei Chaburus. I would have thought, an individual can move around. So I would have thought that Chatzchil Korban Pesach can be divided into two groups. Tamaloyme Bebayis Echad Yechlu. That in one house, it should be eaten, that the Korban Pesach should be one group. The Korban Pesach should be one group, but individuals can move around. But my Kamifkis, what exactly is the argument? I'm going to explain this. Rabbi Huda holds, Yesh Eim L'Mesedis, and Rabbi Shimon holds, Yesh Eim L'Mikra. Rabbi Shimon holds that you look at the way we read it, that when it says Ye Ochel, it can be eaten in singular. We're not talking about a person can only eat it in one place. It's talking about the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach can only be eaten in one place. You cannot take one Korban Pesach and divide it into two houses. So the Korban Pesach has to be eaten in one place. But once you started with this Korban Pesach in one place, you as an individual, you can go wherever you want. Because the other Pasuk says in Lashon Rabbim, Malabatim, that the individual can go wherever he wants. All the Torah cares about is the Korban Pesach itself and where you start your meal. Because it says, Ye Ochel HaPesach. So we say the Yochel goes referring to the Korban and not on the people. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that Ye Ochel Mesedis means it goes actually on the person. The person cannot eat in two places, but the Korban Pesach can be divided into two. What happens, says the Gemara, HaYoshvim. So right then the Gemara says one thing, then the Gemara will say, Lav Davka. HaYoshvim, let's say they were all sitting together and suddenly, V'nifrasa mechitza b'nei. They were all sitting together and suddenly a wall appeared. Now it looks like two separate groups. Korban Pesach can have two different groups. You can continue eating. As far as the groups are concerned, it looks like two different groups. Doesn't matter. You're allowed to have two groups. As far as the individuals, they're moving around. They're not. They haven't moved at all. They're sat here before and they're sitting here now. Nothing changed. However, what happens? It's like two groups now. What about how Yeshua was sitting, and then suddenly there was a partition that moved away. So now, as the one who says that a person can eat in two places, now look at two places, because now that you move the mechitza, it looks like a whole different room altogether. Some reason or another, when you're taking away the mechitza, it looks like a different room. When you're adding a mechitza, it does not. All you did was you made the room a bit smaller, but when you're taking it away, you make it much airier and everything else, it seems like it's a whole different room. So the one who says that you're allowed to eat in two places, it's like two places. You originally were in a very small box, and now you're in a much open room. It's no problem. I believe I may ain't oichel, I'm going to eat in two places, ain't oichel, you're not allowed to eat. Yossi Rav Kahana, Kaposhel, Mifshet, Rav Kahana said this Gemara as if this is the halacha. Omer leid Rav Asher Rav Kahana, v'tiboyiloch. I think this is actually a question. How do we treat adding a partition or removing a partition. Iboya, you should have asked a question. Silik mechitza vasil mechitza. Actually, the question should be: removal of a partition or adding a partition, is that creating two rooms or not? And are they the same or different? Mihavi kibeis mekayim mechavodes dami. Is it like two separate places, like two separate groups? Eloy or not? Is it two groups but one place? How's it work? Teiku. I believe it's a question mark with that which you believe is so definitive is not so definitive. Says the Gemara, the Kala can turn her face around. Even though it looks like she's part of a different group, she's turning around, it's all right. My time, but why is that so? The reason is, and why are you actually encouraging her to turn her face around? Because she's embarrassed to eat in front of people. Everyone's looking at her. She's a Kala. They want to know who she is. So therefore, what do you call it? So she's allowed to turn around. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna once came to the place of Nachum Yitzchak. Said to him, "Ma Shimcha." Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nosson, once happened to come into a place in a new town, and they asked him, "What is your name?" He told him, "My name is Rav Huna." He called himself by his title of honor, Rav Huna. Amru, so they heard that he was a Rav, so they said to him. And Nachum Yitzchak was a big amoyda, said to him, including all other people there, so Nesef Mar, I put you, sit on the bed, because everybody used to sit on the ground, all the simple people or all the ordinary people, the lay people, but the rabbi would sit on the bed if he's higher up. So they said to him, okay, so they honored him sitting in the bed. Immediately Yosef, he sat down, he took the honor and he sat down. They gave him a cup to drink. Kable immediately took it, b'chazim, without asking any question, without hesitation, he took it. The shasi, but he drank it b'treizim, not in one gulp, but in two gulps. Layahadir ape, and he did not turn his face around when he drank. He just looked at everybody and drank in front of them. Omrulay, they said to him, we don't understand your behavior at all. First of all, mataima karisul Rav Huna. Why in the world did you call yourself Rav Huna? Omru, he said, Baal Hashem ani. He said, this is Baal Hashem, that's my name. So Rashi learns that when I was a little kid, everyone called me Rav Huna. So that name stuck to me. So I'm not being arrogant. Others say, no, that if you come to a place, in fact, that the Gemara Shavua says, that if you come to a place and you're Talmud Chacham, you need to tell people you're Talmud Chacham. So therefore, I came here, I thought I should tell people, you know, who I am. So they said to him, my time, why is it, Kiyomlecho Nesev Apuri, we told you to sit down on the bed, Yosvet, you sat down. L'chayde, you know, you should be, you know, people decline honors, you should say, you know, you should hesitate, show a little humility. Amalui said, Kol ma shiyem, the famous saying, and it comes from right here, Kol ma shiyem l'cha balabayis, whatever a balabas tells you to do, I say. If a host tells you to do something, you have to do it. Chutz mitzei, unless he tells you to leave. If he tells you to leave, then what do you call it? Then you don't have to listen. You don't have to listen at all. And our guess if we don't have it, but the Magen Avraham Shalom quotes Chutz Mitzei. You know the famous word from the Munkacher. He says, anything a Baal HaBayis tells you to do, even in politics, agree with him. Chutz Ales Mitzei, unless he's a Mizrachist, a Tzionist, or an Agudist, then you have to argue with him. Because firm people shouldn't be in politics. Okay. Then he continues. So he said to him, my time, why is it ki yavi lecha kosa? Why is it when they gave you a cup of wine, kibaltu b'chazim, you immediately took it? You should have hesitated. You should have said, oh, I don't need a little menschlichkeit, derech eretz. Amalu, he said, the rule is, mesarvin lekatan. If an ordinary person offers you something, you should decline first. If a gadol offers you something, Nachum Yitzchak, you don't decline. You take it straight away. Because like Malachim, Avram, immediately as soon as you offer them food, they said that right away, they took it straight away. But when it comes to light, they started to argue, oh, we'll sleep in the street, we don't have to come to your house. What do we see from there? Mesarvin lekatan, ve'ein mesarvin legadol. My time is tisi b'treizimna. So why did you drink like a glutton in two gulps? You should have drank it in one gulp. Amuli said, the time we learned, in the derecher, it's ha'sheisa koisa b'vasa achas. If you drink a cup in one gulp, it's a gargarin. You're a glutton, you're a guzzler. You're a fresser, and that's totally inappropriate. So they said to him, Shnayim is derecheretz, but shloisha megasi ruach. If you drink a cup in one gulp, it means you're a glutton. If you drink a cup in three gulps, you're savoring the taste. Sounds very arrogant. If you drink it two gulps, that's perfectly normal. Okay, they said to my time will had the apir. So why, when you drank right in front of us, and you didn't turn around? Amlu kala hayfechas paneratana. We learn in the Mishnah only a kala who's totally embarrassed turns around when they drink, but anybody else doesn't have to. Okay, time we learned Rabbi Shmuel but Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yosi, and Rashi reminds us here that in Sechel Poilim it says he was extremely a very heavy person. A very heavy person. Ikla ben Shimon Rabbi Yosi ben Lekunya. He once came to the house of Shimon, the son of Rabbi Yosi ben Lekunya. Yovele Kosa, they gave him a cup to drink. Koble bechad zimna, he took it straight away. Veshasi bechad zimna, and drank it in one gulp. One gulp. Omer later said to him, why did you do that? Don't you agree that if somebody drinks it in one gulp, he's like a glutton? So how can you drink it down in one go? He said to them, it was not said, you gave me a tiny little cup, and your wine was sweet. I got a big stomach. What do you want me to do? Nobody's going to accuse me of being a glutton for drinking one cup. The one that you gave me, compared to what my needs are, it was nothing.
Okay. You skipped a line.
I did?
Yeah.
The
first white line.
Oh, Amnon said, don't you hold Hashoyse Koyse Bevasachas, if you drink it in one go, Hareze Gargarin, that you're a glutton, that you're a freser. Amnon said to them, or a guzzler, Loi Amri, it's not said, Bekoysach Cotton, when you gave me such a small cup, the Yenach Mosuk, and the wine was so sweet, the Kreisi Lechava, and I got a big appetite. What should I do? Now this is very interesting. Rashi learns that this has nothing to do with Korban Pesach. It was Talmud Din about people who hire a waiter. What's the menschliche thing to do? We're talking about menschliche things to do. What's the menschliche thing to do? And if you want to know the origin of tips, this is where tips come from. Amar Ravuna said, "Bnei Chabura." Let's say a whole group of people are coming to eat, and they all hired a waiter together. When does he have to start serving the guest? Nichnasim b'shloisha. If three people sat down, even though the rest of the guests haven't shown up, he already has to start serving them. But if only one or two guests are there, he doesn't have to serve them yet. But if three come, even though there might be 10 more coming, he should start serving. They don't have to all leave at the same time. They can leave one at a time because everyone expects that people, when they come to eat, they eat when they finish, whenever they feel like they want to leave. And the waiter has to continue serving even if there's only one person left. Even though it's a schlep to serve for one person, that's how it is. That's the arrangement. That the person, the last person, doesn't sit there for hours and schmoozes in the restaurant. It's only if he leaves at a normal time that people normally would leave. Number one. And number two, who the rogash b'hu daila, that they told the waiter from the beginning, they have to tell the waiter from the beginning that that this, you should know that we're not all going to finish at the same time. Then he says, Amar Ravina, Kazan Ravina says, the noisnins char damim, he says here that the last two people have to pay a little bit extra because they had longer services from the waiter. And then he says, the tzorech ha'achran lohis damim, and the last guy has to give an additional tip because the waiter stayed specially for you. In other words, everybody else doesn't give a tip. You made a way, you made a price, that's the price. But the last guy, because he's taking advantage of the waiter, has to give a tip. But the less hilchas kavasei, the Allah is not like him. So the question is, Allah is not like him that no one has to give a tip, or Allah is not like him that everyone should give a tip? And that's the machlekes between Americans and Australians. Okay, hadn Allah keitzat zeilin. Tomorrow starts Pedika Isha. Okay, Pedika Isha. We have two more parakim before we get finally to Arve Pesachim.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone have a good day.